Mrs. Chasen.
Hello.
Hello, how is everybody this evening?
Excellent.
Good.
Are you presenting on the, or was that just gotta be shut off? The light's on.
I don't need that, I'm just.
Did you have power on that? So real quick, before Jen and Henry start, we have been speaking an awful lot about program here at the high school. And in looking and studying some of the data that we've been looking at, it shows that we have a number of students that are taking AP courses and are not getting much credit for it. And at the same token, we have some students taking college level courses that are through Dutchess Community College. So what we decided to do was start looking and speaking with staff regards to how can we get the best of both worlds. Number one, have the rigor of AP and college courses and continue to try to offer those credits. Number two, get a better successful passing rate. And number three, have students with the opportunity to leave Weebatuck with as many college credits as possible that can be transferred to other colleges or whatever college they may want, so that they can have a head start in regards to leaving Weebatuck and starting their first half a year or a year of college. In my former district, students have the opportunity to leave with 36 credits by the time they're a senior. That's a tremendous amount of advantage for parents and for those students, knowing how expensive college is. And number two, whatever doesn't transfer, it allows them to be prepared for a college level course. So we've set guidance and Jen and Henry on looking at some opportunities. And today they met with University of Albany and they're here to present what their findings are.
We have the lovely opportunity of working very closely and speaking to Dr. Prevot over the weekend. And she spoke to guidance, Henry and myself. Very knowledgeable woman, speaks very highly of the university and high school program that's available out there. Nothing but positive things to say. They offer, in the packet that you were just given, there is a sheet that's got a long list of different course opportunities that they offer. It's amazing. They've got beginning photography and digital imaging all the way to the Holocaust and history. So there's over 100 courses that if we had, you know, teachers and they were approved, we could be having these very courses in our high school, whether it be a core class or an elective.
But she also stressed, stressed that any course that's in the Albany catalog that anyone's interested in teaching, if it's not on this list, they're more than welcome to entertain the possibility of teaching that course here. So any course in the Albany catalog, undergraduate catalog.
The teacher would have to submit their resume, all their credentials, college transcripts. Albany would then approve the teacher to then be the teacher who could then teach into the district. They're assigned a liaison based upon department. So there'll be a liaison for social studies, liaison for math. And it's kind of nice because that liaison keeps, you know, kind of keeps tabs on what's going on in the classroom, making sure that the rigor is there, the syllabus is up to par. And Albany basically does an audit every 3 years. So they're approved year one, two, three. Third year, they have to go back through the approval process again. So make sure that they're current. Cost is reasonable. It's $150 for a course, not per credit, for a course, where it's $1,000 per credit. So for a three-credit course, our students would be paying $150 versus $3,000. So it's quite a savings in itself. Any student who was on free and reduced would cost us half, at least $75. One of the selling points, too, she talked about is it's a SUNY school, and the likelihood of those credits transferring are more likely. She said she didn't want to put a number on it, but it's over 90% would be transferred to other schools, universities, a little bit better than like the college, community college credits or your AP courses, where you're not guaranteed unless you get 3, 4, 5.
Add to that. She said that if you take Albany classes, University of High School classes from Albany, and you go to, you decide to apply to a school, and that's the school that you accepted to and you want to go, and you transfer the class, and they deny the class, you can contact Albany, and Albany has a person whose job it is to review all the syllabi, contact the college and say, this is the course description, this is what they've completed, please reconsider, you know, evaluation of this credit. And so they make every opportunity, this one person at Albany makes every opportunity to transfer that credit from Albany to any school that a student chooses to attend.
Seems very personalized for our students. You know, there's a lot, it allows time for collaboration with the Albany University faculty. They offer free PD for our teachers. Teachers are taking, they're teaching a course in a classroom. They can take a field trip up to Albany, check out the labs up there. So it all opens up some PD opportunities for our staff as well. And the big thing that we, at least I keep hearing in the high school, is the AP, the rigor, the AP, the rigor. Dr. Prevot very nicely said today that the rigor in Albany U courses is more rigorous than an AP course, and that a lot of teachers' eyes were like, really, that's great. So it was a great opening conversation to start with many of our staff. A couple stayed behind, listen, ask some questions. So you'll see there's also another flyer in the packet that talks about some of the benefits of collaborating with Albany University.
So yeah, again, Jen had just pointed out something. One of the questions in regards to, we have so many students taking AP courses and very few receiving the 3, 4, or 5 that's required for it to be transferred that credit.
And that's even if the college would even take those courses.
And the hesitation on the staff has been to move away from those courses because they believe, rightfully or wrong, that the AP rigor is more rigorous than the college, the community college level courses that we also offer. So that's what their hesitancy to move to the college credit courses have been. It was made very clear to us today that the rigor of these University of Albany courses is much more than the AP course, and it's more aligned to the International Baccalaureate program, which is a phenomenal program. That'll be a dream one day. But it's something that is much more aligned with that. So I think it meets the needs of, one, being the rigor that we need, and two, allowing students with this tremendous opportunity to, even if they don't get past the course, they're still exposed to a college course, but most of them hopefully will. And that, plus there's requirements to get into it. You have to have a B average in the course before. It allows these students to walk out of here with 15, 20, 21 credits, which is tremendous for us.
That's huge.
Board members, questions, comments?
I have a question. You did talk about cost. Is that cost to the district or cost to the families?
Still discussing that.
Okay.
Currently, AP classes, last year they cost the district $95 per course, per student. It's gone up this year. I'm going to say it's about $102 or $103. Was speaking to Ray, you know, $102, $150, we're talking possibly $75, the district would pick up maybe $75, the family would pick up. It's just beginning conversations of some ideas that we're
throwing out there. And the incentive for the student, if they have to pay $75, they're paying for that credit, so hopefully they take it seriously.
Way cheaper. Yeah, way cheaper than a college course.
How can you go wrong,
obviously?
Yeah. Right. Who else? Judy?
Is this geared toward a full year class every day schedule? Because of course in college there are far fewer hours.
Right. It could be a full year long course, or it could be like in college, 2 semesters for 1 year.
Right.
So you could do English 101 and then English 102.
Depends on the department, I think.
That's what she said, yeah.
Okay, that would, if we could work that out and they could look at the curriculum, that would
be. She said that's really up to the district if they want to do full year courses or do they want to do, you know, a typical college fall spring semester.
As
so it's
a
really
senior,
up to us.
Getting out English 101 and 102 already out of the way.
Right. Guaranteed mm-hmm. 6
Wonderful.
Credits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Students, what do you think?
Personally, I believe that this is a good idea because, like, I've tried to go down to guidance and ask them if we could have more DCC courses. So it's like, oh, there's nothing we can do. And, like, I took AP Bio, I got a 3, which is like the minimum score that colleges will take. But because I'm going into a school that has a heavy nursing program and a pre-med program, they won't take anything below a 5. So I took the course, I'm not going to get anything for it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other ones I probably will, but.
It's an excellent point, Cassandra, that you make.
Yes.
Other Cassandra?
I think it's great. It'll be a great opportunity for all the students,
okay.
Really, yeah. agree with her.
I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying that AP is too rigorous for the kids.
No.
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 Okay, they're not passing.
They're not passing the exam.
They're not passing the exam.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a disconnect in regards to students that are allowed to take the AP course.
Okay.
The actual instruction. I mean, so there is some issue that the instructional piece is a question. And then they're doing well in the course, and when they get to take the exam, they're getting threes. So
we're not seeing the same thing in the DCC.
Can I just say something about the AP exam itself? It's kind of interesting because every year it's sort of graded on, I don't really know 100%, but it's kind of graded on a bell curve. So it's graded based on the number of people who took the exam one, and everyone who has taken the exam, what they have done to take the exam. So they sort of lump them together. So a certain percentage of them get ones, certain percentage of them get twos, threes, fours, fives. So it's really based on the people who take the exam every year, the score. So it's really hard to predict if someone's going to get a three or four because you really have to determine who's taking the exam. So it's kind of interesting how they put the percentage of the number. So the exam itself is pretty rigorous. But Dr. Prevost at Albany said that these courses are actually more rigorous than AP exams. And just as a teacher who's been here for a while, some of the courses for AP English, for example, we didn't have an honors program until a couple of years ago. So a lot of kids are sort of went from a regular 11th grade to 12th grade AP and weren't really prepared to take AP because the writing and the reading and, you know, that was at such a higher level than what they're used to. And it's through no fault of anybody. It's just our scheduling didn't really... wasn't conducive to honors classes. We have them now, so hopefully that'll change a little bit.
See a difference, right?
Can you say, I don't quite understand how it works. So there has to be a teacher, there's all those classes, but really, I mean, we're a small school, limited resources, mm-hmm. we'll pick a class. We're still, I don't see how we're doing 36 credits for somebody, right? Because you need a teacher who's
correct.
Qualified
that
to teach.
That has that right in the background that they would need. For example, there was one I'm here on, classism, racism, and sexism issues, Department of African Studies. I'm not sure we could offer that.
But the one thing that you said about creative writing, we have creative writing as an elective. Why not turn that creative writing elective into three potential college credits for those kids? So we do have electives that could be turned into, we have literature of war that could be similar to a class that's in here. You know, it's contemporary literature that's similar to something here, mm-hmm. something that Albany offers. So really also starting with maybe turning our electives into college credit-bearing classes.
It sounds great. It's really exciting. Could you tell us what the next steps are and sort of what your timeline is?
Absolutely. With Dr. Prevost, she said that the most likely we will not be able to turn around immediately for the fall. However, we could look at doing a half year starting up in January. Mm-hmm. Sent an email to the staff this afternoon saying, I don't want us to lose sight of this. Please let me know if you're interested, if you need further information. So hopefully I'm going to start collecting data from the staff of who would like to pursue this further. It's interesting because there were conversations that were happening out in the hallway. And questions were being asked that I'm not sure that they've been asked before. So I think the teachers are starting to think a little bit outside the box up here.
Great. Have we reached out to other districts? Many years ago when my daughters were in school, they had at the Thornbilt for Millbrook, Pine Plains, Dover, and we took
that's where you took your AP
course. A number of kids would interact. If we can either offer courses outside of the normal school day and or offer them in some way so that we can pull in other, not only students, but other teachers who may have a specialty that might allow us to offer something if we don't have someone who's the right fit here.
You can make that contact on your own.
Absolutely.
I know Taconic Hills does a lot with Albany. They have University
yeah.
and High School. They do a lot
four
of
other schools
really,
in Dutchess
yeah.
County, too,
yeah.
that
yeah.
associate with Albany. Some also use Marist, but their costs were
pretty
high.
More astronomical.
What are the other schools in Dutchess that you saw?
I don't know off the top of my head. I wanted to say, I know Pauling uses the science, the research part of this, where they have to do like an internship outside of the school, come up with almost like a thesis and a theory, and they've got to go and piggyback in the city, whether it's medical theory, and it's pretty intense. But I don't know the other schools. I can definitely find that information out.
Great, great.
Do we have the faculty, real quickly looking at the literature, I assume a bachelor's degree, maybe a master's, said requirements were necessary, but it didn't really spell out that itself. So do we have enough faculty to support this?
Yeah, I mean, even if we can have our students leave here with 15 credits, half, one semester, that's five courses. So I think easily we can find five courses within the program, within the faculty we have. So again, it's changing that ship that has been moving, and it's moving wonderfully, but changing the direction a little bit. Each little thing we do, whether it be literacy initiative, whether it be this, whether it be AIS, no matter what it may be, that shift is starting to, you're starting to hear momentum going, and you're hearing faculty and staff speak about it. So we're going to continue looking at these things, and if they don't come to fruition, they don't come to fruition, but at least we're putting them out there to start thinking about them.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because, again, the staff had no idea that, you could offer simultaneous to AP on college. Like, they didn't realize that, there is something out there that's a little bit more interesting.
I have one more quick question, though. As far as, the AP and then this, which I think is amazing, mm-hmm. I want to totally jump on board with this, but let's just say, in thinking about this, if we do start it in January, but then you have kids who've already begun their APs for that year, what do we do then? What if we have a kid taking an AP?
They would stay in that, we would look at some half-year courses.
But then would they not take any of, they wouldn't get to take the college credits?
If they had some additional time in the schedule, they could take the college half-year credits. Yes. We're trying to push, there might be two or three teachers who came to us today and said that they're very interested. We were going to talk to Albany and say, can we expedite this in 3 months and have it ready for September? So we're having those discussions.
Oh, okay.
She mentioned 6 months because in the development, because each teacher is responsible for creating their own course outline, their own scope and sequence, their own syllabus. So they're really, they suggested 6 months because it is an arduous process.
Your AP already has that established in the course description.
And available to them often.
Well, there's examples, but they encourage them to do it independently. Right.
But they also need them to approve the syllabus and the faculty.
Yeah, so obviously they didn't want to just have a cookie cutter and say, here's our course description, this you teach it. They wanted to allow the teacher to have some type of creativity in it. And
as Henry said, one way to possibly approach it, if we can't do it until January, is to pull things out like the creative writing, which is now an elective, and offer that, or some of the other things. There's some very interesting things in here, though, because the kids could plan for if we have some idea by then.
So another question I have, for two reasons. One is another commitment that I have, but also as a Dutchess County resident, have you talked to Dutchess? Have you had a text? Have you had a chance to talk to Dutchess and explain the concerns, the shortfalls, the limitations of that versus this, and that sort of thing? I guess what I'm saying, other things aside, I'd rather see money going to Dutchess County schools than outside schools, even though it's still New York State. It sounds like a great opportunity for kids, so have you had a chance to have an opportunity?
We've played phone tag, we've probably missed each other four or five times, so I haven't had the conversation with the president. You're right. So the big idea for us is how can we benefit our students, and having them with Dutchess County Community College credits would be great. The problem is that they're not as transferable as the state university credits, and it's a true issue in this district of changing the culture because. And I started off with saying, wrong or right, I'm not so sure yet. The feeling is that some of their courses don't have the rigor that the teachers would want. Now, if I'm Dutchess Community College, I'm saying, well, the teachers can make with any rigor they want for themselves. So that's why I'm saying I'm not so sure which is, the chicken or the egg. So I haven't had a conversation, but I will. And as we get closer to making decisions, if any, we'll have further discussions.
Yeah, because I would. If I were in that other position, if I were the person at Dutchess overseeing that operation, then I would want to hear that, and then I'd have to say, well, then what can I do to boost that up or to find out if it's going on in other schools as well, make a better product for kids. Mm-hmm. But
offer them free to us.
Well, the thing is, I haven't gone through this with my sons. I mean, they actually have a list of what
course at Dutchess corresponds to a course that you will get credit for at, say, this was SUNY DePaul's, but they do have that sort of information there. Possibly we can actually find those out, but possibly we could also pull Dutchess Community College into somewhere down the road working more towards this kind of thing. That would be really neat, because I agree with you, I'd always rather keep dollars at home, but...
There's a big, beautiful building about 7 miles up the road, and bought very in Dutchess.
I did my part.
All right. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
Thank
you. Student reports.
Last one.
The seniors have their senior trip to Six Flags New England this Friday, so we'll be missing school, those who do. The senior ball is June 18th at the Ponds. The senior awards night is June 22nd. The National Honor Society induction ceremony for both National and Junior Honor Society is June 14th at 7 p.m. The valedictorian for the class of 2016 is Ryan Long, and the salutatorian is me.
Congratulations!
Student council was trying to plan an end of the year dance and a bonfire, but it didn't end up working out. So, but middle school concert is this Wednesday, and there's also a band is preparing to play at graduation, which is obvious because that's every year. And then Memorial Day went really well. Band performed in Millerton, and I represented the district in Amenia, so we all branched out. It was nice.
Varsity baseball finished 7-9. We didn't have the best season. We didn't qualify for sectionals either, but we had some good individual performances. Ethan Lounsbury was named to the first team All-County, and Hunter Coulthard, Chris Milano, and Ethan won All-Mahal. Hunter also won MVP. Ethan won Mr. Baseball. Coach's Award was awarded to Chris Milano, and I got the Tony Kaye Award.
Congratulations.
I don't know how accurate this is, but I think softball finished either like 1-12.
1-13.
Kaylee Johnson won MVP, and Miss Softball was awarded to Kat Nethercott. Track won 2 meets. Angus and Taylor Edmondson were awarded MVP. Mr. Track went to Ezzy Johnson, and Miss Track was awarded to Lara D'Alessandro.
Speaking of Miss Edmondson, she ended up first in the county, in the MHAL, and has made it through the sectionals and is now on representing us in the state for the steeplechase. Is John here?
Oh.
For the steeplechase, and she'll be going up Friday evening and representing us Saturday morning in Syracuse. So
that's awesome. Wow.
Maybe we'll have her at the last meeting to congratulate her.
Yes. That's awesome.
Tracy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to impose upon us before you become officially...
The last chance.
Thank you.
I think we have a lovely parting gift for you.
Yes.
You, student, we would like to gift you your nameplates. So.
Take them to college.
Put them on your desk.
You can nail nails.
I want to see that nailed to the top of that BMW.
Maybe on the desk.
There you go. Thank you so much
and
for
we
everything.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Public comment. And moving on. I don't think we do we?
No.
Okay. What do we got?
I have two things. One, we have a grand piano that has been is looking to be offered to us as a donation. I don't have much more information on it other than who was the person?
It's uploaded on their documents, on board docs.
It's right here.
Barbara?
1939 Harrington Walnut Baby Grand Piano, and it was by
Barbara, I think it was.
Ann Barbara. And I have spoken to the music department about it. They need to see it to make sure. But they said they'd be willing to accept it. And the worst we can do is have it there as a decoration or. But it says it's playable, right?
She did say she spoke to a tuner and that it was in good shape.
Yep. So We're going to ask for the acceptance of that in a couple minutes. And the other part of my report is we have discussed in the past the need to start looking at our technology department. We have had a teacher on assignment there for many years. This year, we decided that we were going to put that teacher back in the classroom and look to outsource that role of technology director and technology technician to Duchess Bosse's to try to be in the cost-saving measure. We had it as a shared service where we had a technician 3 days a week who served us very well and the director 2 days a week, with the hopes that that director would help move us forward in regards to the Smart Bonds Act regarding technology, and also start looking at our one-to-one initiative, revamp the instructional technology use of the district and start looking at that part component, and really to lead the district in technology through the technology team and so on and so forth. That was my goal. My goal was not met, and I'm not blaming anyone, more so that having a part-time person to run all that is very difficult. And we did not achieve the goals that we set forth in that area. That being said, we have done some research and some working with some, looking at different vendors. One of the vendors that offers a service very similar to what I'm looking for our district is someone who works very closely with Tetra Tech, who's our engineer and architect. In fact, they work very closely in looking at projects that have technology components, safety components, IP voiceover components, and all that type of technology parts of a project. They're called Core BTS, and I've had a relationship with Core informally and both formally in both my past districts in regards to their input in the technology field. So in my discussions with CORE, they had said that they have a service where they could provide us with exactly what I was looking for, someone who's a technician and someone who can help lead a district in technology and be a director. At the same time, looking at our infrastructure, taking care of our servers, and moving forward in the technology of 2016 and beyond. So with that, I introduce to you this evening Andrea Fulmer, who is representing CORE this evening. And Andrea has two compadres with her, and I'll let her introduce them. So, Andrea, you want to give us a little spiel?
I'm sure you've not heard of us before, so I just have a couple things for you. So we're a technology consulting company working with over 200 school districts throughout the state. Like Ray had said, part of our service is providing a staff augmentation service. And that's actually, so you'll have somebody on site every single day reporting to you. And in addition to that service, we also help out with networking, wireless infrastructure, voice over IP phone systems, integrated into your physical security, distance learning. So as you guys were talking just now about AP courses, my head was spinning because I'm like, I want to say something and raise my hand because I'm like, I have an idea, we can help you with this, I won't go into it, but anyway, about collaborating with the other districts that are doing it in this area, and you could potentially leverage that and do, distance learning that way, not the traditional distance learning where you have to do it through a BOCES or a RIC and have that all set up. You can, nowadays it's so easy, and you can just partner together with other districts because that's what districts want to do nowadays. But anyway, that's my little idea. I wanted to introduce Pam Bedoin as well. So she's actually part of our team that helps recruit and helps find positions and fill positions for this type of service that we offer.
I just run the staff augmentation division for CORE BTS and assist in helping to find the engineers that work for CORE, and those that get triaged to the different school districts and to the clients that we service. So it's up to us to make sure that we have the most qualified individuals on staff, the ones that meet the needs of the districts and the clients, making sure that they meet all the criteria, background checks, fingerprinting, and the administrative goals as well. So we're taking off the HR burden as well on the districts and the clients. So that's what I do for CORE.
Right, so it's not really, you're just not getting a service or a body, you're getting a company of 350 employees, 15 locations, so.
Right, we're recruiting firm or an enormous organization where you lose numbers. We're 15 locations, like Andrea said, nationwide, offering managed services, IT services to school districts, K-12, healthcare, private and public sector clients. Staff augmentation is a piece of that. So, you know, when you have somebody that's working on your technology for your school district, a lot of times they'll say, you know, do you know somebody that can help us with this? Do you know somebody who can help us with that? They get really comfortable and used to the technicians that are working and implementing their systems. And like, can Kevin just come here every single day? So sometimes we'll say, yes, he can. We can come here every single day if you need him to. But it's, like I said, my job to help find the right person for your organization. And we do want them there 5 days a week. And traditionally, it's difficult for people when they're coming in or you're calling your managed services company to triage somebody, and we'll be there in 24 hours, we'll be there on Wednesday. It doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't help. So having that, we found a great success in our other school districts from Long Island, New Jersey, all the way up to upstate New York. To have somebody as a resource 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, who's always thinking about your district and consulting back to Core BTS with our full group of engineers and client services managers to assist. You'll have that one person on site, and you'll also have the strength of the full engineering firm behind that person. So that's another benefit we have.
Any questions for Pam or Andrea? I know we're going to discuss this some more. They brought Bill along.
I'm the resource.
So are there any questions? I can tell you that as we move into 2016, a professional organization, a professional service that is so imperative to our operations every day and through our instruction and everything that we do, we can't piecemeal it. We can't limp along. I think we have. We right now don't have our anything off the ground in regards to our smart schools, and I don't want to lose out on money that's available there for us. And I think having an organization and someone to pull a point person that can tap into the knowledge of 350 employees is important for us. So I'm not going to say anymore. I have no relationship with the company at all, other than they bought me a salad tonight.
Let's
clear
that out.
And you know, we do work with architects all of the time when there's a technology component of the capital project, and now more and more you're seeing smart schools out there. They're being wrapped in together as one big project. So we've been doing it for over 20 years. We're very, really knowledgeable of the process and of the E-rate process and, you know, CUSAP funding and Excel-E, all of, you name it, you name the acronym and the funding resource, we've dealt with it, so.
What question?
This is something I've actually been interested in moving towards for quite a while since I've been on the board. No offense to BOCES, they help, they do good things, but getting an answer on what you're being billed for is, you know, next to impossible. There's just an end. For too long, I think people have thought, well, you don't get the E-rate if you don't go through BOCES. Yes, you do, your school.
Of course, E-rate. Yeah. Yeah. Like
there are a lot of things that just, that I think could probably be handled better from a company that has people on the cutting edge. Mm-hmm. And I would very much like to look into what I've seen. It is very exciting.
Where do you come from tonight?
I actually live in the Albany area.
Albany, is that where the office
is? Yeah,
we
have, down in this area, we have offices. So we have Albany, we have two offices in Long Island and one in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. That service this particular area. But, you know, if there's some sort of special or unique need for another resource, or it's summertime and all of our engineers locally are just, you know, too busy, we can definitely outsource from other branches. It doesn't impact the district, you know, financially, or just being able to accommodate those deadlines. We know how summer gets. We know as soon as, you know, the last day of school, we're able to get in and God forbid that we go start hanging access points when somebody just, you know, whacks the floor, like, that's a problem. So we want to meet those deadlines for the beginning of the school year.
Right, we pulled resources from Wisconsin, from Pennsylvania,
right,
from, you know, Tennessee. We have to.
We let our Vegas people stay in Vegas. They don't want to come here.
Is there a lot of that we should know about?
No. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
No, I think Ray is going to explain to us later how we can afford this. And,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Safe ride.
Bye.
That's it.
No, thank you, Ray.
Thank you. That's just what he's going to do for us. Yes. Thank you. All right.
You make sound
religious. That's awesome. All right. Good to meet you all. Thank you. Consent agenda. Anything anyone wants pulled?
Is the summer school we're talking about at the high school in conjunction with the credit recovery?
Let's pull it.
Okay.
Pull. Summer school.
806.
Yes.
804 and 806.
Yep. What else? Anything else? Okay, I'm not hearing anything else, so I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda as amended.
So moved.
Thank you, Chris. Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, Corey. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And that puts us 703? Or do we?
Sorry.
Yeah, 703 and delegations.
So we have Supervisor Victoria Perotti here to speak about Shared Services Grant.
Great. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. I'm here tonight because the Town of Armenia is applying for a Shared Services Grant from the county. We're putting in a new heating system, and we got permission from our bond council to also add a generator. We're also changing over the warming kitchen in the elementary school to a community kitchen, so it's an actual working kitchen. And we're looking for monies to do that. We've had a history of partnering with Weavitug. We did on a NYSERDA grant when we first moved into the old Armenia Elementary School. And, you know, I did receive a $90,000 grant to make improvements. What I'm asking for tonight is for a letter of support from the Weavitug School for us to get this grant. With the last updated contract that we have with Weavitug School, we allowed a room to be retained in the elementary school that has internet for your use anytime you want to use it. In the case, you know, if there is a disaster, you know, we would, with our generator, you would be able to use that room in any of our other rooms or facilities, you know, that we have there. So since you know, we already have this connection, and, you know, we want to offer to you other services that, you know, you might be able to, you know, if you needed a skeleton staff or communication or, you know, whatever in a time of a natural disaster. I mean, I spoke with Ray before, and he said that, you know, you do have a contract with the Red Cross. However, if you don't have a generator, you wouldn't, you know, you might be able to provide some services here in the time of a natural disaster, but if there's any long-term power outage, you wouldn't be able to. So what I, you know, would like to offer you the opportunity to use our facility and, you know, to have for communication or a skeleton staff. And what I basically wanted to do is to see if you would do a letter of support for us to apply for this grant. We're applying for $190,000, to cover cost, part of the cost of the generator, and also to build the community kitchen.
Questions from the board?
That sounds great. We've been trying to get a generator like forever, at either in Northeast or Armenia or Weebitok, and if that went through, that would be absolutely awesome, because as you say, we can, you know, without a generator, we can provide shelter, but not a lot else. The septic systems, all the water, all the rest of it runs on power, so it's... to have someplace else that has that capability would be great. I can't imagine that there's any downside to do that.
Hey, I do have a sample letter of support, just to, who it needs to be sent to, and I do have some information about the shared services program. This grant has to be in June 17th. We have a few weeks. But I wanted to come, and ask for your support.
Okay. Yeah. Good. What else from the board?
I'd like to say that since you've taken over in Armenia, the programs at the town hall have been fabulous for our kids alone. Mm-hmm. Without the generator or natural disasters, the camps have been amazing. The kitchen would be great to have a functioning kitchen for the parties that they've done there and the sports that go on in the gym, and I think it's been really amazing the past few years, so thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Is it a letter or is it a form letter we signed, or do you want us to write a letter?
Well, it's I have a form letter, but I thought, I also can email it to you, but I thought you could look at it and see if you want to tailor it to whatever.
We'll take it.
We did all the background information.
I'd like to say it makes my life even easier.
It's good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thinking about too is that our next meeting is the 20th, and if this needs to be in by the 17th, then we will need to have a brief special meeting to approve the letter.
Right. That's okay. All. Very good. So. And so a letter is just a letter, but it says I'm not exactly. You said there's information about the shared services grant, so right. It's the requirements and the.
Yes, I gave. Okay. I have the requirements here.
So that'll need some official looking over. And
yeah, I'll look at it. We'll send it to the attorneys. I'll send it to you.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Hopefully, we can do something. We'll do something for you.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for being so
pleasant.
Thank you.
All right. We are on 801. And I'm looking for a motion to accept the support staff resignation. Thank you, Rick. David Rosenberger. Is there a second?
Second.
Nikki, is there any discussion?
No, we appreciate his service. And hope that whatever he is moving on to is good.
Hopefully.
So with our best wishes, and thank you. All right, all those in favor of accepting the resignation? Aye.
Aye.
Good. Any opposed? Okay. Into 803, 804. Judy, you had some questions. No, that's Corey. The summer school appointments. That
was
Corey.
Me. I was curious as to why...
Yes, make a motion.
Oh, yeah, Tracy, you're right. Looking for a motion to approve these administrative appointments to the summer school program. Rick, is there a second? Nikki, thank you. Corey.
I'm just curious as to why we're doing it this way this summer when last year it's the principals, it's part of their time in their contracts that they work however many months. So why are we paying someone to do it?
There are three administrators, or three positions on here for summer. The first two are the K or pre-K through six program that we have traditionally run. That is part of the administrator's contract. Mm-hmm. So that is something that has been the last few years. And if you remember last year, the three administrators,
nice.
Ms. Chasen, Ms. Katie McEnroe and Mr. Sauer all split the stipend three ways.
Oh, okay, so it was a stipend last year as well. I didn't understand that.
The new program is the 7 through 12 or 9 through 12 this year summer recovery program, which is the summer school program.
Mm-hmm.
and that's very different than the other program. So that's, it's separate. It's actually not even part of a administrator's contractual. It was part of the budget numbers that we talked about for the summer school program's budget.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion?
So I apologize. The high school part flew past me. That is the
summer recovery, credit recovery.
That's for the summer. Okay, and that's not to exceed 24 days. Can you tell me what the amount in the contract is for the
1250.
Summer school? Okay. So those are not to exceed 30 days, but the high school is not to exceed 24, but it's the same stipend.
Yeah, a little bit different, a lot more accountability, because they have to make sure students are here, because right. to get the credit recovery, they have to have certain seat hours. A little different and a lot more accountability. Usually when you have a summer school program at the high school, and next year this will be hopefully at the intermediate school also, there's some more work to do.
And my other question was, I was under the impression that Ken was doing 11 months.
He chose not to.
Okay.
Thank you. Good question. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor of approving the administrative appointments for summer school,
aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Okay. Corey. Thank you, Corey. All right. And now we are on 806.
And 806 is oh. actually 804 is the one I wanted, because
oh.
I was wondering why the program was working. But these teaching assistants are in the elementary school.
Right.
Yeah, before you go, let's get, we need just a motion.
I'm so sorry. I move that we accept the support staff summer school program appointments upon recommendation of the superintendent.
Thank you.
Second.
Rick, thank you. Okay, Judy, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I have no question. This is part of the regular
okay.
program, so that's okay.
Okay, good. Anybody on the board, questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor of approving the support staff appointments, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, I think we're all in favor. And now we are on committee reports. I think everybody's been briefed on negotiations, right?
Yes, negotiations.
Yeah, we're current with the full board on that, right?
Just so that you know.
You sent a report.
Yep, yeah. But just for knowledge, we had Cynthia arranged a Blue Cross representative to come to present to the teaching staff in regards to health options. It went over very well, so just a discussion. We're going to see there, they're going to report out to us on how that was at the end of this week, I believe, early next week. And we're in the midst of scheduling one for CSEA also. Separate committee report. The facilities committee had to cancel today because Mr. Wisbauer is ill. We will be meeting in July. And the third report is transportation, and I will turn it over to you.
Okay, Mr. Bacardi handed in the complete report, and we're going to get him to come in on the 20th, the next board meeting. So.
Can we read the draft?
Yes.
Yeah, we just got it today.
Oh, okay. Okay, excellent.
Is this putting us in a position to even discuss changing anything for next year, or are we kind of late in the game for that now?
So, in brief, the idea of going to the One Bell system has a number of academic benefits and instructional benefits. One of the issues was we thought that would be a cost savings. I believe in the cost, there's a cost issue, so I don't know if we're ready to do this in September. And that's why you'll get the report and we'll explain it.
Okay.
And there's more to discuss. I mean, we'll have to discuss that.
I know, but isn't that something, a year of work and now, or 9 months of work and to be like, oh, do we even have time to act?
And the questions are being raised. I mean, people were here back in September. They know that, you know, we've had this committee, and so if we could get
Did Mrs. McNamara's letter get forwarded on? I sent it, but I don't think it went through. I know
I didn't forward it, yeah.
You didn't forward it?
I didn't forward it either.
Okay. Well, it just said some very interesting stuff, and I think the board should say.
I agree.
I sent it, but it was a couple days ago, and there was something wrong with my server. It didn't go, but I was just driving, so I put it away.
It was essentially a follow-up to the original conversation we started in September when the committee was formed, and there was, I don't know if it was Nikki or somebody had shared the information previously about the benefits of a late start time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we can forward that.
Right, and just realistically, if we do have the discussion, what is our timeline? If we have the discussion and we decide that maybe changes need to be made, what realistically, when could we do that? And then still, because I remember when we discussed it in August of last year, it was too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't
July,
box
so.
Ourselves into a
I think
corner,
we asked Lou Mafardi that question on the 20th.
It might have been the fifth reschedule.
Of July?
Yeah.
I thought it was the first meeting in July. Mm-hmm. The issue is going to be if there's a high cost to it, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, is it, and I think it's actually more than that from what I remember.
What?
Purchasing
buses.
More. Purchasing buses. And bus drivers. Because that happened to do two more runs or three more runs at once. Mm-hmm. The cost benefit or the cost versus the benefit is just something that I and purposefully, you know, that's something that we really need to have them sit and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And again, and I know it could be frustrating that we started talking about this in the last year and we're still at the same point right now, but the discussions have been had. You're not hearing nearly as much discussion regarding behavior on buses. We have this new PBIS that we're ready to unveil where the bus drivers are being involved in it and they're gonna be trained on what the expectations are. So we are addressing a lot of those issues that were the impetus to have those discussions and we'll get there and however mm-hmm. that's gonna be. But you need to see the report first. And
right.
Legitimately, we didn't even get a real good chance to look at it. I just looked through it.
Yeah, it's hard for me to understand because we didn't save hundreds of thousands of dollars when we closed a school and put the middle school on a different time. So it's hard for me to understand
he'll explain
what it would cost. So.
He's a character.
Yeah.
I just think when we talk costs and benefits, it always comes down to it. I mean, when the benefits are, you know, the children's education
mm-hmm.
versus money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is like a hard discussion that I think we really do need to like look at. Quickly, I would say, to see what we're going to do, because this was, I'm sure we all remember, there were a lot of parents here, a lot of people wanting to get their two cents in, and since then we've done a lot of research on the Transportation Committee as far as the benefits for later start times, especially for the older kids, so it's just something I just want to make sure we're still getting going.
What about some of the districts that have already gone to the late rather than the bus?
There were two that were in the midst of it, I believe,
mm-hmm.
Rhinebeck?
Rhinebeck and Red Hook.
Yeah.
And
Red Hook. I thought that one of them, they had a vote and it didn't go through.
Right.
Wappingers is changing that since September, but it's only a difference of like 25 minutes, 30 minutes.
Right. So let's have Lou here and speak with him, and if we can, you know, it'll be a more decision.
Okay, and we'll look forward to seeing that report.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's make sure we get that report tomorrow.
Thank you.
A year may seem like a long time, but glaciers move faster than decisions when it comes to the boards sometimes.
All right.
That's honesty.
What are we doing?
We have to talk about contracts.
I'm looking for a motion to move into executive.
I just wanted to mention there's a school board association meeting last Thursday, and presentation was Chris Hamlin, who's a school resource officer in Spackenkill. I knew him there. Anyway, I wanted to ask have you read or has the administration thought about a school resource officer?
Absolutely.
And we don't have one.
Yeah. Used to.
And you know, obviously cost is an issue and so on. But you know, and he is a school resource officer. He's very good, I know, and he's very enthusiastic about it. So he was a total sell about it. But I think it's worth looking at, depending on, you know, you're going to have a better sense of the needs in the building, whether what's provided with this sort of program could be addressed. There have been a couple issues this year that I wonder. You know, you seem to. The administration seems to have their ear to the ground pretty well. So maybe the benefit of someone like this isn't that great for the cost?
Phenomenal program. Not only in having students, or having issues addressed that may be dangerous or unsafe, but what I found is they start to develop a relationship with the students, and the students confide in them things. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing program, but it's, again, a cost discussion. So right. We have those.
It can be. I suspect a lot of it has to do with the person who's in the position.
Sure.
And whether they have a relationship with the kids already because they live in the district. When we had a school resource officer and my son was punched in the face and fractured his eye socket, I was told that there really wasn't anything they could do. I could go and file a complaint with the police if I wanted to. So I'm not a real big fan. But, it all depends.
Well, just by the presentation, it definitely seemed to be a personality-heavy sort of thing. Yeah. Which is success.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so are a lot of them.
Superintendent's
position.
Absolutely.
I think it's worth looking at. I'm not sure what the next step would be, whether it's asking him to send somebody here or asking for more information.
I actually have the lady's contact that can hook you up with someone in Dutchess County because I researched that quite a bit in the beginning of the year, and I kind of dropped it just because I felt like if you got a good resource officer, it was kind of like having another school counselor, and I think we could benefit more from a counselor than a resource officer. Mm-hmm. After looking at the numbers of the odds of something happening in our school.
That's very interesting.
What about the cost? Wouldn't the cost be cheaper to have somebody like this?
We would essentially pay the police officer's salary, which is not cheap.
Or a portion of it anyway, depending on what the arrangement is.
Yeah. Oh, if there was somebody who was not full-time, but sort of floated,
yeah,
and we shared it, interesting.
Yeah. And I guess they could come from different police forces also, which you're going to have different.
Why don't you, if you know the gentleman, you want to put him in touch with me, I'd love to speak with him or give me his contact and I'll contact him, whatever works for you. But again, it's an opportunity to have a discussion. And
Corey, if you want to share any of that research that you did, yeah, please, that'd be great.
I completely forgot. I did also want to pass on, and I spoke to Sarah Cottle. And she is involved with getting a task force together with, I believe the town may be involved, I'm not sure, but BTCF and social services and a number of people to address not just teen pregnancy in the sense of, let's try to keep kids from getting pregnant when they're kids, but also in terms of how do you deal with it? How do you try to make sure that they have resources, that they have someone to tell them what they need to do, how they can handle things, what's available? She would like to have perhaps a representative from the school board, one or two. She'd like to have a representative from NECC. I thought we could reach out to them also to try to be involved with this this possibility of setting up some kind of resource here, because it's on this side of the county, we often don't have anything available. You wind up having a Kipsy, and if you're 16 with a two-year-old, you're probably not going to get out to Kipsy to get help.
That sounds really great. I missed, can you say what, so she's trying to put together a group to sort
yes,
of pull
Yes, she's
resources.
Met with some people, and I just, before I said to her, yes, have them contact us, I just wanted to bring it up to the board.
I think you love it. I think it's amazing. That's actually what I'm doing my master's thesis on, is social support for teenage moms, and I think it's amazing.
Well,
and I'm
you would
all,
be a natural
I'm
liaison.
All,
that's
I'm
it.
All on board for talking to them and
yeah.
Working with them. I think it's an amazing
okay.
idea.
Great.
I don't know how often it affects our district in particular.
Pretty often.
But right.
Yeah.
But we don't see them, unfortunately. So maybe mm-hmm. this way we would.
Yeah.
Good. Planner Harris.
Great. It also has a program. Outreach program on youth peer educators or something, that they'll come and do classes with the kids.
Yes,
they did it in the
mm-hmm.
Kipsy.
Yeah.
I know because my daughter did it.
she taught it.
A lot of times it's just a matter of, as you say, not knowing what you know. You may take for granted that you have to get your kids vaccinated, that you have to. you know, what the vaccination rules are, what the blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a lot to having a kid that even adults don't always realize until it happens to anyone of your teenagers all of a sudden.
So what's next? We expect somebody will...
I will, yes. I will pass on here. Please have them contact the school and move forward. And, you know, I can contact Jenny. You can contact Jenny, whatever, to ask if you're interested in being part of it, too.
Yeah, I think you should. Okay. I think you should write ahead, and I'll mention it to her what to expect it. All right. Good. Thanks. If there's no committee.
Hey, also what was mentioned, this is maybe sort of bad news, is I guess there are new rules for emergency drills for school districts as of July 1st. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, where there's supposed to be a drill or a training before September 18th.
We have made them, this group that comes here and works with us. I actually just put in a call to them about that today, because I have to schedule the opening day training for the teachers and staff.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. I know back in, I want to say February, one of their people, Jackie, came and took our emergency plan to review it based on some new upcoming information. So that's probably it.
So I hadn't heard of this July, September 18th. What type of drill? Fire drill, a lockdown drill, a entreaty drill?
It might have been an evacuation drill. I don't know. Find out for sure. But I remember thinking, wow, this is not, certainly not on my radar as a teacher.
Yeah,
I guess as of July 1st, they're going to be coming around. But I assume if he said that he knew, I guess he knew because he has a buddy who whatever. But so maybe they haven't even announced these requirements.
That reminds me of one other thing. I don't know who would tell us this, but one of my many part-time jobs is as a legal secretary, and apparently they've changed the rules about what is allowed to be on any kind of documentation that is accessible by the public. Now, the last four digits for Social Security has been quite a while, but now there is birth date, you have to redact the year, I'm a big fan of that. Not because there's so much identity theft that it makes sense that they should have done this a long time. But I don't know who tells us about that, but it's something hopefully.
All right, team, looking for a
question?
Motion for the purposes of negotiation.
So moved.
Thank you, Chris.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you.